Dateline Washington, Thursday, March 26, 2009. Hello again from the nation's capital. I'm Greg Corumbus. In this edition, the Republican version of the new budget. We'll talk with Ohio Congressman Jim Jordan about the GOP priorities in moving forward on issues like spending, taxes, energy policy, and more. We'll also get his reaction to the Obama plan. Also in this edition, a change in terminology. The Obama administration no longer using words like terrorism, global war on terror, or enemy combatant. What does it suggest about the administration's attitude towards the war? And what do they plan to do with the detainees at Guantanamo since they plan to close Gitmo in less than a year? We'll ask Arizona Congressman John Shattuck. Plus, card check. Pennsylvania Senator Arlen Specter changes his mind and says he's now going to vote against the idea. We'll find out the significance of that and what would happen if card check were to be approved. And the week in politics, we'll talk about the budget, Mexico, and a whole lot more with John Gizzi of Human Events. All that, plus our top news, is straight ahead on Dateline Washington. We begin with Congressman Jordan, and we begin right now. My first guest in this edition is Ohio Congressman Jim Jordan, a Republican representing the Buckeye State's 4th Congressional District. He joins me today to talk about the Republican alternative to the $3.6 trillion budget blueprint proposed by President Obama, and apparently congressional Democrats are ready to pretty much give him everything he wants. So, and Congressman, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you, Greg. Yeah, they sure are. I mean, we had budget markup in a budget committee yesterday, and they embraced this thing hook, line, and sinker. So, and it's just the wrong direction to go, as I know many of your listeners will believe as well.
And Congressman, talk about that markup process, if you can, because there had been some talk from congressional Democrats, I guess more on the Senate side, perhaps, that they were looking to trim some of the fat, but essentially keep all the president's priorities in place in terms of a universal health care system, cap and trade, and all that sort of thing.
Yeah, I mean, Greg, this thing is amazing. It spends more. What President Obama's budget does in 6 years, it builds up more debt in 6 years than from George to George, from George Washington to George W. Bush. So more than the 43 previous presidents accumulated in the entire history of our country, this budget adds more to the national debt than all that combined. So that's how much spending is involved. And think about what they're trying to do. In the midst of a recession, this budget and some of the other proposals they put out there, any one of these concepts is a bad idea at any time, but to do one of them during a recession is even worse. To do all of them during a recession is crazy. They're going to raise taxes. They're going to continue to spend at unprecedented levels that I just talked about. They're going to further unionize the workforce with this card check concept, which takes away the right of a worker to have a secret ballot. They're going to further nationalize health care, and they're going to impose cap and trade on the country when our emerging competitors in the world, India and China, aren't going to do it. And it's going to disproportionately hurt the Midwest, where I'm from, where so much of our power comes from coal-fired plants. This is crazy where they're taking the country and what it's going to mean to our economy, particularly when we want our economy to rebound and get out of this recession. But that's their budget plan, and they all embraced it yesterday in committee. We offered 36 amendments. Unfortunately, we lost on our amendments. But you know, that's where they've decided to go with this Obama budget.
Now, Congressman, you mentioned several things there, so let's take a couple of them one at a time here. Number one, on the overall spending front, this is a Democratic majority that really came to power in 2006 and added to that majority in 2008 by saying the Republicans had not been responsible. So how do they defend what they're doing now?
You know, it is amazing to me that their logic, and I'm the first to agree that Republicans spent too much money. I was only here two of the 8 years of the last eight, but I offered amendments to reduce spending, to take it back to previous year's levels in the appropriation process back in 2007, trying to hold the line on spending. But their argument seems to be, because Republicans spent too much, it's okay for Democrats to spend more, and not just a little more, a lot more. They're going to run the 10 largest deficits in American history over the next 10 years. So I've yet to figure out that argument. But that seems to be their play. And you know, they will say one thing and do exactly the opposite. If you remember when President Obama came in front of the Congress and the American people a few weeks ago and gave his speech, and he said, "We can't leave our children a debt they cannot repay." And that was his statement. And yet, this is what we get. This budget, which spends more than any budget in history, which runs the largest deficit in history, which builds up the national, which doubles the national debt in the next 7 years. I mean,
hey, Fred.
Rhetoric's one thing. Actions are completely in the opposite direction.
Congressman, many have suggested that the president either tackle fewer of his major initiatives as he tries to bring back the economy, if not all of them, at least temporarily. In his press conference on Tuesday night and in other public appearances, the president has clearly said that, in his opinion, all these are necessary to revitalize the economy and that all this spending now will actually save us money down the road. How do you respond to that?
Well, that's crazy. I mean, look, everybody knows what fosters economic growth, what promotes job creation is lowering the tax burden on the job creators, the small businesses out there who employ about 70% of the people in our economy. So lowering the tax burden and keeping spending under control, that's the kind of framework you want to establish, not increasing taxes, not spending and saddling future generations with this huge amount of debt, and certainly not unilaterally disarming and making energy so much more expensive for our economy compared to our competitors around the world who aren't going to put those limits on their economy. Those are three of the exactly opposite direction, wrong direction to go when you're trying to grow your economy. And you're right. There are people now who are beginning to say, wait a minute. People like Budget Chairman, Senator Conrad, saying, we need a little more discipline, fiscal discipline with this budget. And I think that's the right word. I told a group yesterday, I remember that I had a coach in high school who talked about discipline every day, and he had a great definition. He said, discipline is doing what you don't want to do when you don't want to do it. And basically that meant it was doing things his way when you'd rather do them your way. But that's something we need to keep in mind, because the easiest thing in the world for politicians to do is spend taxpayer money. Politicians love to spend money. The tough thing is usually the right thing to do, and that is to say, look, we got to make some tough choices. We got to hold the line on spending so that we don't mortgage the future for our kids and our grandkids, and we set up a framework where our economy can get back on track and we can start creating jobs again.
And in light of that, I know the Republicans unveiled your budget alternative today. What are the tenets of that?
Well, frankly, it wasn't an alternative, because we're working on running the numbers and getting the actual numbers. If you look at the document, there's no real numbers in there, but it lays out the right kind of blueprint, and it does exactly what we've been talking about here. It says we're gonna lower taxes, we're gonna put the right kind of energy policy in place, we're gonna get a control of spending so that we don't saddle this country with this huge debt. So it's the right message and it's the right policies, and we'll have to translate those into numbers over the weekend, because next Tuesday we go to Rules Committee with the budget alternatives. And then there'll be a vote on the actual budget in the House of Representatives sometime next week.
You mentioned three key priorities there, Congressman. Let's go through those quickly. Number one, tax reductions. Which taxes in particular, and how much should they be cut?
Well, certainly the income tax rates. You don't want those going up, and that's what the Obama plan does. It takes up the top marginal bracket. When you do that, you're going to be raising taxes on small business owners out there. Many of them pay via the marginal tax rate. So you don't want that to happen. You want those rates to stay low. You want to bring those rates down. You certainly want to keep the capital, lower the capital gains tax, so that capital, you can't really have capitalism if you don't have capital. You don't want this tax on capital out there, which we need right now. We need that tax cut in place right now to help our financial markets and help our overall economy. So those are the kind of things that make sense from a tax perspective. And certainly from a spending equation, we've talked about that you cannot spend at this pace. They're spending 24, in the first 50 days of this administration, they averaged $24 billion a day. So it's not just these huge amounts they pile up, it's the pace at which they're doing it, which is unprecedented as well. And then the right kind of energy policy, one that doesn't impose this cap-and-trade tax on every single American.
And then what would be the Republican alternative? What is an energy plan, for example, far different than perhaps what the president's proposing, that you believe would be best for our nation's energy policy in the near and long term?
Same plan we outlined last year. All of the above. We say, look, I'm old enough to remember when I went to school, one of the things they talked about was natural resources in your country are a good thing. We believe we should use the natural resources we have, and that includes shale rock oil, that includes outer continental shelf, that includes ANWR. Use the natural resources we have, and while you're doing that, the American people understand this clearly. It's why they got this last summer, and they get it today. That while you're doing that, you can also go out there and explore the alternatives, develop those alternative sources as well. That helps you in a national security standpoint, helps you in an economic security standpoint. The all-the-above strategy, where we use our natural resources and develop alternatives, is the right approach. It's the common-sense approach. It's the approach American families and American people want.
couple minutes left with Ohio Congressman Jim Jordan. And Congressman, you mentioned the spending issue, and I know another issue that a lot of people are worried about, but we haven't heard too much public speaking on this on Capitol Hill, especially from the majority, and that's the risk of inflation. How soon do you think we might be dealing with that, and how severe could it be?
It's anyone's guess, but you know, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to know that when you have injected this much money into the economy, this much cash into the economy, at some point when your economy begins to take off, you got to believe there's going to be some inflationary concerns. And it's one of the reasons, in my mind, and there are many, but one of the reasons we should have never started down this bailout trail, this bailout road that we've been on, or embraced this bailout fever is what I've called it, that's got a hold of Washington. It's why I voted against every single bailout package. Because once you do that and you start injecting all this cash from the Fed and directly from the Treasury, there is the potential, certainly when your economy begins to improve, which we all hope it happens sooner rather than later, there's the potential to have some real inflationary problems. And so no one knows the time when that may happen, but my guess is it's likely.
Last 30 seconds here or so, Congressman, what are you hearing from your constituents on all this?
They're fed up. I mean, hey, Greg, Tea Parties all over the country. The first warm Sunday of the year in Cincinnati, Ohio, Sunday afternoon, 5,000 people come out because they're sick of their government doing these crazy policies. They want a government that behaves in a sane and rational way for a change. And so the people have had it, and they've really had it with this idea that the people who do it right have to pay for and bail out the people who do it wrong. And so that we're seeing this across the country. I'm going to be involved in some of these Tea Parties on April 15th, Tax Day. It's important that we begin to do what makes sense, what's common sense, and the American people understand that. Unfortunately, not enough politicians in Washington seem to get it yet.
Congressman, great to have you with us today, sir. Thanks for your time.
Thank you.
Ohio Congressman Jim Jordan represents his state's 4th Congressional District. This is Dateline Washington.